Psalms chapter 92, verse 15. It says, "They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Let's pray. Father, be our rock, be our shield, be our firm foundation. Lord, give us the boldness, give us the heart to lift our heads and be confident in you. But Lord, as we read this morning that you are just, Lord, I pray that you make it clear to us. Open our hearts and our minds. We want to let your word penetrate our hearts. Lord, I pray that you give us course corrections today as we walk through our life. Lord, that maybe we learn something that adjusts our path to be a little bit more truer, walking straight to you. So Father, speak to us this morning through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're continuing the series, God Is, and we're looking at different things, characteristics of God. And this morning we're looking at God is just. And a number of weeks ago we looked at God is infinite, and I told you my head hurts. Trying to understand how God is infinite, how big he is complicated. And it begins to, because we're not infinite, he is. So how does this work? How can we understand something that we are not? Well, last week we did God is good. Now that I can understand because I've seen God's goodness. I can feel it. I can touch it. I can understand it. Well, this week I'm researching God is just, and I'm reading and reading and reading, and I had to put everything down and walk away because I'm like, oh, God, this is difficult. And by just, we kind of look at God as a judge, God's judgment. And his judgments are true. They're perfect. They're right on. And so we're looking at God is just. And again, my head hurts. But sometimes, I don't know about you, as we read the scripture, as we look at things, if we don't understand it, a lot of times we just set it down and go, I don't get it. And sometimes things make us fearful because we don't understand it. We can't see it. We can look at God's being infinite, or God is just, and maybe not fully understand it. Or sometimes we look at prophecies in the Bible, or end time prophecies, and we're going, "Okay, God, I don't see it, I don't understand it," and we just kind of walk away because some things we're fearful of. If we look at God's judgment, if you think that God is going to judge us of life and death, you might go, "I don't like that," because what if? What if I'm not on the right side and we get fearful? Imagine being given some instructions. You've lived in Turtle Lake your whole life. You've never left this town and you're supposed to go to Denver, Colorado. So you hop in the car and you start driving and you've never been anywhere else and you never had conversations about the other places. And you start, the GPS says you're into Colorado and you look off and all of a sudden these mountains ascend and you're like, "What is that?" And you start going up the highway towards the Mile High City, and all of a sudden, you guys know what happens when you get up in a plane or you go in a car and you're going up elevation. What happens? Your head feels like it's going to explode or implode, right? And so the first time you did that, what did your parents say to you as you're going, what is this? Your parents said, "Chew some gum, yawn, move your jaw," and all of a sudden, pop, it's clear, right? But what if no one was in the car with you? What if no one told you? What if nobody communicated to you that, "Oh, that's natural"? You would stop the car, you would call 911, or you'd turn the car around and go back because you don't understand. What is this thing? And someone would say to you, it's just natural. That's just what happens. That's what occurs. And so there are so many subjects in the Bible that we're like, "I don't get it." And I'm turning around. I'm done. I'm not going any further because I don't get it. And we need to dig into the Word, open our hearts. "Okay, God, I know this is a graduate level class, but speak to me. Give me some understanding because I want to understand this." So, Lord, give us understanding this morning as we look at justice. So I've got how to describe this as we dig in. We're going to put a picture here of a bunch of words. So, Isaiah, if you have the word one, we're going to go through this. And I hope you can see these. Now, this is almost like English class. We have to go through some definitions and some words to try to figure out God's justice. So, again, we might be hurting your heads, but we want some clarity as we dig into this. So we're going to start, and we're going to move through this all together. The first one is unitary. Now, some people are like, ooh, what's he talking about? The scripture comes from Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord our God is one. Now, some theologians here, you might be going, okay, are we talking about like the Godhead? Unitarianism, I think, is the word. There's the Trinity. There's the Godhead. There's oneness. I think there's triunity. These are all these subjects of there's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're one, but they're three. That's not where I'm going this morning. God is unitary. It means God is one. Okay? Let me describe it differently. God is whole. God is complete. God is not made up of parts. Think of a diamond. A diamond is perfect. It's flawless. It's beautiful. What is diamond made up of? Diamond. Or carbon. But it's made up of one thing, right? That's God. God is one thing. He's not made up of intermoving parts. He's whole. He's complete. So what is God? And we can say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is God made of? God is made of God. Okay, I don't get it. I'm already confused. My head's already hurting. All right, let's keep going. So we look at this word composed. Psalms 139:13. God knit us together. We have been composed. We have been created. God took a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He took dirt and then he blew air into it, right? And think of ourselves. We are made up of stuff. We're made up of parts. We're composed. And some of our parts are flawed. Can I get an amen? Some of our parts don't work right. Some of our parts hurt. Some of our parts are missing or have been taken away. I'm not a complete man because they took my wisdom teeth. I'm not whole because I don't have an appendix, okay? I'm made up of parts. God put all these parts together. And if you're like me, as I get older and realize things degrade, these parts are in conflict with one another, right? Are your parts in conflict? You get up and maybe your back hurts. But is it really your back hurting? Or is your hip out of place? Or is it the insole? You need a cushion in your shoe. All of our parts just aren't working. You wake up with a headache. Is it your neck? Is it your diet? Is it your stress? We are in conflict all the time because we're composed of many parts and these parts don't always want to fit perfectly. But not God. Because God is one. God is whole. God is complete. And so we're in conflict, which creates these next three words: inequity, unequal, iniquity. We're out of balance. We've got parts that aren't working. Okay, there's things unequal means I'm out of balance. How am I out of balance? Well, I get moody. Anybody here get moody? You ever have emotional days, good days, bad days? You know, how are you feeling? Let me think about that. We get moody, we get cranky, we get crabby, we get super excited, we get down, we get up. Sometimes I'm out of balance because I lack knowledge. You're ascending a mountain, and why is my ear popping? If you get the information, you go, oh, that makes sense. And we go through life, we're out of balance, we're unequal. There's inequity, inequity within us. Things aren't balanced, and we need more information. I don't know about you, but occasionally I change my mind. I was going to go this way, and then I'm like, no, I think I'll go that way. We go back and forth, and then iniquity, we have a sin issue. In this being, there is sin, and that's a disease that infects me. It messes everything up when I have sin within me. And so I'm in conflict. I have all this stuff out of balance. And what happens is that messes up my morality. When I look at things that are right and wrong, I look at them differently. My morality throughout my life, I believe, has probably changed a little bit. as I grow older, some things that I thought, well, that's definitely wrong, I get older and go, actually, that's not a big deal. And some things that I thought, oh, that's just fine, I have experiences or I have understanding or some more knowledge or I'm not in a bad mood, and I go, oh, that's not good at all. My morality in my life has changed based upon my knowledge, my understanding, my experiences, my feelings, my mood. And where I am right now, which I would say I'm probably a pretty moral man. I can see right and wrong fairly correctly. Is that where I'm going to be in 10 years? In 20 years? Or is my morality going to change? I'm messed up. But that's different than God. Because God is whole, He is complete, He's made up of one thing. There is no conflict. God is just and righteous. Now the Bible in the Old Testament, the Hebrew words, they share the justice and righteousness, share the same root word. God is, so we can use these words really interchangeably with God. God is just, God is righteous. He's both of these. God judges correctly all the time. All the time. He's never in conflict. His standards are unwavering. How he decides, makes a decision based upon a standard, never changes. I remember growing up, the Snickers Blizzard, that's the best thing, right? I love Snickers. I like ice cream. You mix them together. Snickers Blizzard, that's the bomb. And then in the late 90s, they came out with the strawberry cheesecake Blizzard. Oh, with those big chunks. With those big chunks of cheesecake, it just made the perfect thing. My standard changed based upon my experiences, the things I taste, the things I've had. My standards change, but not God. He's always just. He's always righteous. God is not learning. He's not lacking. He's not growing. He's not adapting, because He is one. He's unitary. He's complete. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think that's a motto I try to live by. My wife can't stand. Well, what do you want to eat? Same thing I always want to eat. It never changes. Same today, yesterday, and forever. God doesn't change. God didn't go through this story of life that we're in and get to a certain point and go, ooh, oh, oops. I didn't see that coming. I don't know how to judge that. That's too complicated. Boy, that messes things. That didn't happen to God, because His standards are always true. I believe and I know that there is always a solution to God's justice. There's always a standard. There's always a way to get us through, or for us to understand God's justice, because He came up with something called atonement. Now, that might be a churchy word, something you don't use very often, but imagine God as the judge, and He simply judges two different ways. He either sentences you to life, or He sentences you to death. It's one way or the other. There's no wavering. You come to a stoplight. If it's red, you stop. If it's green, you go. Now, some of you try to go with that little in-between. If it's red, you're starting and stopping and starting and stopping. No, to God, it's you are sentenced to life or you are sentenced to death. It's pretty clear. It's pretty simple. But our parts, because we aren't just and righteous, our parts are in conflict. They're at odds. And sin within us sentences us to death according to His judgment. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We have sin within us. And if there's sin within us, God looks at us according to His standard and says, you're sentenced to death. Oh, but God, I'm a good person. No, there's sin within you, you're sentenced to death. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. We want this middle ground, but God, it's pretty clear for Him. But Is that the end? The only way to move from the category of death to life would be atonement. You see, the wages of death, or the wages of sin, is death. Romans 6:23. If there's sin within me, justice says, you must die. Or, a little more accurately, something must die. If there is sin, it must be covered, it must be washed away, it must be taken care of. Something must die. And we get to the New Testament, and Jesus lifts his hand up and says, I'll do it. You see, from the very beginning, God's justice system required the shedding of blood to cover sin. Adam and Eve, the first sin, as soon as they sinned, they came to this understanding, and they looked themselves, and we went, our parts are showing. I'm in conflict. I'm naked. I'm uncovered. Everything is laid bare. And God covered them. How did he cover them? He covered them with skins of an animal. Pretty sure that animal was probably dead. It died to cover them. And then you get into the book of Exodus and Leviticus, and we get this standard that God has, that we need to regularly go to God's temple, God's place, God's presence, and say, I've sinned. And the only way to be forgiven of that is the sacrifice of an animal, is the shedding of blood for an animal. And they had to do this over and over and over and over. That was God's justice system. Until we get to the New Testament, and Jesus says, I'm going to take care of this once and for all. I'm going to atone for everyone's sins. I'm going to be the one that has to shed my blood to cover your sins, to move you from the sentence of death to the sentence of life. So Jesus volunteered, but volunteering to die for our sins wasn't easy. In fact, it was full of agony. It was a struggle. It was a cost. It was a payment. My wife and I, a while back, we were on a trip, and we needed a different vehicle, and we found the vehicle we want, and we were excited about it. And yet, I don't know about you, you're sitting there, and you have the money, or you can borrow the money, and there's the thing you want. You have to pay for it. And how often is it kind of like, I don't want to do this, but I need to do this. This exchange is... there's agony. There's a little bit of pain. We have to make a payment. When Jesus made the payment on your behalf, it cost him. It was a struggle. It was hard. Why was it hard? Because he was human. He felt the whip on his back. He felt the nail in his hand. He felt all these things. He was disfigured where you couldn't tell he was human. Jesus paid a price that was costly. He had to struggle through it, and because he was human, it hurt him. And yet, he was also God. So he was made up of parts, composed, and yet he was also made up of God. How? It's hard to imagine. How did Jesus, who was one, come and become a man made of flesh and bone and blood and joint and marrow? I can't imagine or fully understand this, and many times that's where we get stuck. Do you ever get stuck in a concept of God, stuck in a truth in the scripture? You're going, God, I don't get it. Okay, God, I understand Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins. But God, why do good people die? Why would you sentence anyone to death? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem just. Why do I need to believe in Jesus? Why do I need to have blood over me in order to go to the life category? God, it seems like this is too complicated. God, until you make me understand, I'm not going to believe it. But whether you believe in God's justice system or not, it still applies to you. You are sentenced to death when you have sin within you. our understanding, sermons, songs, scripture, they can explain it only so far. And we have to get to that point where understanding and God and salvation and heaven is, you can almost touch it. But we stand there going, but I don't get it, God. I don't understand this. And God says, that last foot, I can't explain it to you. It requires one thing. It requires a step that we call faith. Jesus, in agony, atoned for our sins to move us from this side of the ledger to that side of the ledger. And the only way to receive that is to believe, to have faith. God, my brain says, I don't get it. So I'm not going any further. And God says, you must believe. You must have faith. The price was paid in God's justice system. And if you believe in Jesus and his death, his burial, his resurrection, he moves you from this category to that category. And God can say, justice was served. For us to be able to enter into the category of life, God needs the shedding of blood. God needs something to die. And when we believe that Jesus did for that, God says, justice has been served. How can he say that? Well, he can say that because Jesus was perfect. Jesus was almighty. Jesus was infinite. You see, Jesus, like a diamond, was flawless. He was sinless. There was no sin within him. And Satan knows that we humans are all messed up. We're in conflict. We have feelings and emotions and thoughts and experiences and allegiances, all these different things. Satan knows this. We're messed up. And it's pretty easy to sentence to death or put to death a sinful person. He does it all the time. But Jesus came along, made up of something completely different. And Jesus, or Satan tried. He pushed him to the cross. He ridiculed him. He dared him. Call on God to save you. Satan was used to putting sinful people to death. But Jesus was different. Jesus was made up of God stuff. And it backfired. How many times have you put a fork in the microwave? Probably once. Hopefully less. But if you do it once, it's typically all it takes, because you go, oh, that doesn't work. I'm not going to do that again. Satan put Christ to death on the cross, and it backfired. He learned that putting a sinless, perfect, almighty Jesus to death was a bad idea. Because Jesus was perfect. He was also all-powerful. What does that mean? That means his work of atonement is complete. Oh, that's a really bad character. Yeah, I guess my shedding of blood doesn't work for that person. Oh, there's 100 people over here that need atonement? Boy, I'm not sure if I have enough time for that. I don't know if I have that much blood to spare for 100 people. Jesus is all-powerful. He's almighty. That means his work of the cross is enough. Enough for everyone. And he's also infinite, which means his work of the cross stretched backwards, stretched forwards. It can cover anyone. If you believe in Jesus 100 years ago, his infinite power, his infinite work of atonement works for you 100 years ago as it will in 100 years, Lord willing, we get that far. The atonement of Jesus Christ stretches back and forward because it's infinitely powerful. It's all powerful. God has a perfect justice system, but it's hard for us to understand. And I'll explain to you why it's hard to understand. And a lot of times, it's because of this last word. I think in front of courthouses, isn't there some lady, justice, whatever, and she holds a balancing, justice and mercy. We balance justice and mercy in our lives, and we know that God is just. We've read it. We're trying to understand it. But we also know God is merciful. I was looking at our sermon outline, and through this series, and I had mercy in about like 4 weeks. I'm like, nope, we're going to move that up. Next week, we're going to talk about the mercy of God, because God is merciful. But we look at this balancing, and for us, our heart and our feelings get in the way of justice. But it's not true with God. God isn't in conflict in this balance, because he's perfectly balanced. God has everything within him, because God is one thing. And so it's hard to imagine not struggling and making a decision, especially when something so big as judgment. So how does this work? Well, as we wrap it up here, I'm going to give you an example that contrasts God's justice system, how he judges versus us, and this vast difference, and how it's hard for us to completely understand God's justice system. I may have hurt your brain with big crazy words here this morning. Some of you, in a moment, forgive me, I'm going to hurt your soul. Because this week, a fortuitous example just fell within my lap. Again, we want to look at this balancing of justice and mercy. You see, we have the letter of the law, we have the rule, but then we have our compassion, we have our feelings, and there's a struggle. Imagine human judges. Human judges, on occasion, have to sentence people to death, and it's been proven that as they speak those words, you've been sentenced to death. Human judges, they go pale. They have a hard time speaking the word. They get emotional. Their stomach is in knots because they're feeling that mercy. They're seeing a human being and going, I don't want to be the one to speak this. They're in conflict, trying to balance the justice and mercy. But not God. There is no struggle. Humans, our hearts, our feelings, our allegiances, they get in the way. And I'll prove it to you. Love me. Go ahead, Isaiah. Put up the picture. Okay. I'm not here to bash. It's not what I'm doing. But hear me. Some of you are like, I don't get it. What's going on? Okay, last weekend there was a football game. I haven't been watching football a lot afterwards. You know, I'm seeing it on Facebook and I look at the sports things. And one thing I hear is all the refs. Bad calls. You see, there's one team all football teams hate. And those are the guys in stripes. And what are they? They're judges. Right? They have the rule book. But they also have feelings, allegiances. They also get paid. There are things that mess up their justice system. And one thing that was told was, this was called pass interference, which turned the tide of the game. And depending upon where you're at, you look at that and go, that's not pass interference. Or, oh, that is most definitely pass interference. It might be based upon where you're at. Do you have any skin in the game? Did you bet on this game? Oh, I don't want that to be. Oh, I really want that to be. You see, we're at odds because when we look at things within us, there is a struggle with what we want to be true and what is true. Can anyone here articulate Rule 8, Section 5, Article 1 in the NFL playbook of exactly what pass interference is? No, but we're all experts. But even as we look at things, our minds, our eyes, they can play tricks on us. But hear me, this is not true with God. God can look at any situation and clearly go left, right. Yes, no, right, wrong. Life, death. There is no struggle. Because it is perfectly just. It's perfectly balanced. There is no, I don't know about this one. We're not perfect. We are not flawless. We are composed and made of parts. And so anytime something is put before me, I'm almost in error before I even begin. Because I'm at odds with myself. I'm at odds with you. I'm at odds with the system. I'm at odds in my bones, in my thoughts. But this isn't true of God. You take the picture down. Some of you are just, you know, can't hear me because of that. God is just. And it's so hard to grasp, so hard to believe. But he is perfect in his judgment. And we may never be able to understand it because we're messed up. But when it comes to making a decision of life and death, do you know who I want making that decision? Not me. Not someone that I respect here on earth. Not someone with a lot of experience. Because he's flawless. He's not in conflict. I want him to be my judge. And if I have any doubt, if I have any worry in my heart of, boy, I don't know what side of the ledger I'm at. If you're uncomfortable looking at how is God going to judge me, if there's any of that within you, don't freak out. Don't panic. Don't stop the car halfway up the mountain, turn around and go back down because I don't get it. I'm worried. If you're worried about God's judgment, dive in. Dive into him. Dive into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Get up every morning and say, Lord, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I want to walk with you today. Jesus, I want a relationship with you today. Jesus, guide my every step. Speak to me. Love me. Help me. Forgive me. If you have any doubt and any worry, speak those words. Jesus, I believe. I need you. And eventually you can get to this point where I say, end of the world, bring it on. Judgment, I'm ready for it. Because I am atoned for. I am washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in the work of the cross, the complete work of the cross. I believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that I can have eternal life. And I'm confident in this. I'm also confident that I'm going to mess things up, that I'm broken and flawed. But I know God understands this. And if I simply hang on to Jesus, there's life. And I'll sit upon that throne, or I'll come to that throne, and God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. God is just. Believe him. Trust him. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray for and start with the small stuff. Lord, help us this life making decisions of right and wrong, good and bad, left or right, up and down. And Lord, I know I have messed up. Forgive me. But help us, Father, to make good decisions, not based upon our heart, because it can deceive us, but based upon you and your word. We want to stop and listen. We want to be still and know. We want to follow your path. Lord, for anyone here right now that is in the middle of a difficult decision, those that are joining us online, Lord, as they at their home and they're trying to make judgments, Lord, I pray you help us. Help us to hear you clearly. And if you make it clear to us, Lord, I pray that we can be confident in our judgments and our decisions. But Lord, on the big scale, Lord, it is hard to survive. How come I flip on the TV and it looks like evil people have power? Evil people are making decisions that affect me. And Lord, people that I think are just and good, Lord, are being taken away, are being muted. Lord, within me, my justice system, it's all out of whack. Lord, it's hard for me to trust you at times, that you've got this worked out. Or do you say in the end, the righteous will live, the unrighteous will not? But why then? Why not now? Father, you know these thoughts, you know these questions. But I'm going to stand firm on the Word of God, which tells me, Lord, that you are just. And I thank you that you have a standard, Jesus Christ. And we either stand on one side of him or the other. And I choose to receive Jesus. Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus. I accept his. They buried him, and 3 days later, by the power of God, by the power of the Spirit, which is alive within me even now, Lord, you raised him from the dead, and he is seated at your right hand. And Lord, someday he is coming for judgment. Lord, I believe, and by faith, I accept, Lord, that you are the judge, and you have the standard. Help me to walk a life pleasing to you. Help me to walk in obedience. Help me to walk in your justice. Help me to walk hand in hand, side by side with you. Even though there's days that I don't understand, even though there's days that I don't get it, help me to walk with you and rely upon you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are just. Pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.